Hey, real quick, I just wanted to let you know that Gabba Gabba Huh is now a record store. Well, not really a store, but a booth at an antique store located in Eastridge Mall in Gastonia, North Carolina. Vintage Village is three stores down from Dillard's on the left. And my booth is on the left side of Vintage Village. It's the one with all the records. You can't miss it. I've got over 1,000 records, toys, t-shirts, DVDs, VHS, all kinds of stuff there. So come check it out. Gabba Gabba Huh Records and Vintage Goods, located in Vintage Village at Eastridge Mall, Gastonia, North Carolina. You are now listening to the Gabba Gabba Huh Talks podcast, where we bring you conversations with people connected to the Carolinas underground music scene. Your host, Mike Phillips of Van Huskins.
Just turn my volume down, so now my watch may ding, but I'm not going to turn it off, because if I do, I always forget to turn it back on, and then I start missing messages.
Yeah, well, I turn mine off, but
if my watch dings, it's not like my phone spitting out the R2-D2 noise.
Did you see that I have the poster for that upstairs?
Oh, did you?
It's down the stairwell.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That was a...
mandatory fun.
Yeah, yeah. I went and saw him on that tour. That was a great show. I've seen him...
Oh, we were at the same show, though. That when they came off its auditorium?
I saw him in Greenville, South Carolina.
Because
my brother lived in Hendersonville, and he was taking my nephew, and I went and met them, because it's kind of halfway between for both of us. So I met him down there to see it. I've seen him... I saw him... The first time I saw him was at Carowinds, and my... youngest brother was going to school. He was going to school at UNC Charlotte. Some girl that was interested in him, her dad was like a big wig at a bank or something, and she gave him like front row center tickets to go see Weird Al. He got them like the day before the show, and he's like, "Hey man, you want to go see Weird Al?" I was like, "Ooh, yeah, I think so." He's like, "Front row center." I was like, "Definitely." So that was pretty awesome. And then saw him that time in Greenville, and then saw him again a couple of years ago at the Downtown Pavilion, whatever that is, down behind the Fillmore.
PNC Pavilion.
Yeah, PNC. Yeah, yeah. Saw him there a few years ago. I wanted to go see him this past time on that
tour. Last year,
when he played Ovens Auditorium, but when I saw the ticket prices for it, I'm just like, I'd already decided I'm not spending that kind of money on concerts this year. And unfortunately, Weird Al, I had to skip you this time. But then Alice Cooper came around, and I kind of made my exception for Alice Cooper, but Alice Cooper.
Oh, we went with a different Al.
Yeah, totally.
Alice Cooper versus Weird Al?
Yeah.
That's like that's a classic celebrity death match.
Yeah, that could be a good one, too. Anyway, we'll go ahead and get started. You know, I always
I figured it was possibly already recording, so I hope that last part gets in.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I always kind of try to find something to lead up to getting started where I introduce who I'm talking to. And today I'm doing something a little different, and as I explained to him earlier, I'm not really sure where this interview will go because I didn't really know how to approach this one. I'm used to interviewing musicians, and every now and then I interview somebody who's not a musician, so I have to kind of veer from my little... set it up and let them knock it down thing, because it makes it easy for me. Not easy job. Like, how'd you get started in music? And then they just take off. And so we'll just start sort of the same way that I do, though, because you are a fan of music.
Oh, yes.
When you were a kid, what was like the first thing about music to sort of... you remember one of the first things you remember about music, or one of your earliest musical memories?
I remember growing up over in South Charlotte, and one of my earliest memories was, I think it was Life as a Highway, old classic video, somewhere in like 1990, 91.
Yep.
Way before Rascal Flatts wouldn't cover that track.
Yeah.
And I was singing, and my sister and my mom were like in the back, like, "Oh, Johnny's doing that." That is the earliest memory I have of that. But so far as like me really getting in touch with music, I've had to veer back and think about that section of my life actually pretty frequently recently, and just to kind of like trace. And one of my first cassettes was Boys to Men.
Okay.
And Dangerous Minds was either Dangerous Minds soundtrack with Coolio, Gangster's Paradise, or it was the Mortal Kombat soundtrack, which are like two different genres entirely.
Yeah, yeah. So Boys Men, was that, is that Motown Philly? Is that
I don't think so. I can definitely...
I don't remember if that was the name of the album or not. It was Coolie High Harmony was the name of the album, wasn't it?
It said Boys to Men on the front, and it looked like it was the coolest cover. And I know we said not to bring the phones out, but let's just...
just make sure you don't set it beside the recorder. That's the only thing.
So let's actually investigate this real fast. Let's see. Yeah, it's at the very bottom, because this was... No? 1994. It was just labeled 2.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I actually saw Boys to Men in concert. I took my little brother to see him at Carowinds. Took him to see Boys to Men and MC Hammer, I think, in the same year. And Criss Cross and MC Light.
They used to do a lot of concerts out there. Yeah, MC Hammer back in the day.
Yeah, yeah. Seeing MC Hammer. It was on the tour of the Addams, after he did the Addams Family thing. It was on that tour. I don't remember what album he was doing at the time, but it wasn't the Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Him. It was after that. It was a little bit later, a few years after that. And I saw, like I said, Criss Cross. That was an excellent show. I love that.
Oh, my God.
Although I'm pretty sure they were probably lip-syncing, but MC Hammer was probably lip-syncing, too. And
Milli Vanilli. I mean, MC Hammer, I would say, probably wasn't lip-syncing just because, like, in hip-hop, at least around that era, you are what you're about. So I would say, like, to a certain extent.
Yeah, but Hammer was always more of just a showman more than he was a rapper. So he wanted to go out there and dance and... And, you know, it's hard to dance like that and then sing and not be out of breath. Of course, he was in pretty good shape.
You know what? That's a fair point.
I don't know. I just assume. It's been so long, and I didn't notice at the time. But I just assume, because I've seen so many people in mainstream pop music lip sync, I just assumed that, you know, probably Boys to Men was lip syncing when I saw him.
I wonder if Carowinds is going to start doing concerts again, because the last one that I was supposed to go to with my mom was a Christian band playing at Carowinds that day. I think it was probably right before the pandemic.
That's about, so
it was
all
like
they
2019,
yeah.
And then I haven't heard anything since.
Yeah, they're towards the end. They didn't really use that. They haven't used that pavilion much at all, except for, like, they have, you know, kids come in and do, like, band day, where they have a whole bunch of bands come in, like school bands. I think they use it then. They use that, and they use that little auditorium they have that they put shows on in. And then for a few years, they were doing Christian shows. But that was it. Back when I was a kid and a teenager, I mean, they had shows all the time out there.
Oh, yeah. That was actually the first time I saw Weird Al.
Yeah, yeah.
So fifth grade.
I saw so many bands out there. I saw Starship out there. Oh. I saw You Kids on the Block and Tiffany. I seen the outfield open for Starship. I saw Belinda Carlisle. I was supposed to go see Bob Dylan. I was supposed to go see the Bengals, but the year that we got tickets for that, I got busted shoplifting at Carowinds. And then got banned for the rest of the year, so my parents took my family without me.
Yeah. Wait, what did you steal? Was it worth it?
No, it was not. Especially since I didn't get to keep it, but I think it was a necklace with a snake on it, or either it was a snake ring. Like, you know, I was just trying to be cool.
I mean, you were up until you got caught. Yeah.
And about pissed my, I did piss my pants a little bit when I was headed straight to the bathroom and they were following me. And,
that would have been an excellent show, though.
Yeah. So there you go. I admitted on the podcast I pissed my pants at Carowinds when I was a kid.
When he was a kid. When he was a kid.
Anyway. So we'll get this back to Johnny G. Johnny Golian, or Johnny G, as some people call
Johnny
him.
Johnny G, Johnny Golian.
Reporting for 20XX. And
yes.
And so
sir.
We talked about your. We got into Boys and Men, and that's where we got sidetracked.
I mean, that's still talking about. Yeah. But, you know.
So that was pretty, you know, you were young when you got those cassettes. Anything else you want to fill in, like on your teenage life, getting into music or getting into photography?
A lot of that all happened later.
Sometimes it does. That's why I wondered, like, if it was something that was early on.
No, up until I got out of the Navy and went to college, I hated writing, and I wasn't strongly involved in the music scene up until I joined the paper over at UNCC, Niner Times. Shout out to my old alma mater.
Okay. My daughter just graduated from there, so I love that place. Both my daughters graduated from there.
But I went to CPCC. The thing about high school and the K-12 is they give you prompts that you have to write about. And then my first writing class over there, they were like, okay, pick the prompt. You can write about what you want. What? It's like, yeah, just go. So my first essay that I really, really got involved with was is the PS Vita going to beat the 3DS?
Okay.
So you have a Sony product versus Nintendo. Nintendo's been in the game a lot longer. Sony comes out with the PSP and the Vita, and they're like, the software is a lot stronger. Mm-hmm. It does a lot more. It's prettier. Does it stack up against this legend that it's all kid-friendly games? Mm-hmm. You get a lot of Japanese titles, but yeah, that's on both sides.
Yeah.
And I chose the one that I knew was going to be a harder argument, but that made it much more fun. Plus, I went and used my credit card at the time to go and just buy the console. I'm like, oh, it's research.
Yep.
But that's kind of what started the ball rolling. And then when I went over to UNCC, I was like, I wanted to get involved with the paper. Mm-hmm. So went in, got on the entertainment side, and they set me up with a couple concerts. And then that's when I started around 2014, 2015 is when I started coming out to shows and discovering, like, oh, there's a lot going on in this area.
Yeah. So what concerts did you get set up for? Were they local, or were those, like, traveling?
There was probably a couple local. I actually have to backtrack on that statement in a second. But there was a couple local openers. Mm-hmm. Dreamers played to a crowd of, I shit you not, 10 people, yeah, including myself. And that was over the neighborhood theater. And then a couple of years later, they're at the Fillmore. Mm-hmm. They're, like, touring. Yeah. They're bigger than ever now.
It happens. Like, same thing happened for Nirvana. Played Charlotte, Milestone. Apparently, there were, like, 10 people in attendance. A year later, they're on MTV.
Blew my mind. Like, I love looking back to things. Like, I watched a band while I was doing this actually just pop out of nowhere and go big. And it's like, this is... And that's now I want for, you know, we're in my kitchen. I have posters in and around my house of local bands, tickets, billets, and any one of these names.
Ren Elvis.
Ren Elvis. I miss the old Skylark. Not Skylark. Old Snug Harbor posters.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I would love to see Jay with the eyebrows go big. Signs, I feel like, are the closest on the wall on the way there.
Yeah, yeah.
Emotron would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But no, like, everyone that we've, like, interacted with, like, the bands that you've talked to, I've talked to, everyone's got, as long as they keep putting in the time and effort and go, like, get that visibility, they've got a cult following.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important. Even you with Van Husken.
I mean, you know, we've played to 5 people before, and then we've played to, you know, almost 200 people before. So not many more than that, or probably, but... You know, that's more than I could expect when I first started doing this. So it's pretty cool that you know, you stick with it. You never know what's going to happen. I mean, I still don't expect that we'll be playing arenas in a couple of years, but I wouldn't turn it down. Well, maybe I might try to go a different route with it all. But.
I don't think you would turn it down. You'd just be like, well, that's cool. I didn't expect this. Where do I sign?
Yeah.
How much money is involved? Oh. Okay.
Well, we don't really make anything. You make all the money. Well, still sign me up. Let me go see the world.
There you go.
So anyway, we got, you know. So,
so
Dreamers was one of them.
Dreamers was one of them. Actually, that's the one that stands out from the paper.
Yeah.
I did that for a little while. I did 6 months over in Japan for study abroad.
Yeah.
Got to see some of their, like... A few, like, street shows, kind of how they operate, some of the indie underground. And when I came back, I was looking at my last year at UNCC, and it was like, I don't want to give this up. I wasn't really involved with the paper at that point. I moved from the paper over to the radio station.
Okay.
Played a lot of video game music, but also started, like, looking into the indie scene, bringing a couple bands on that I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Melt being one of them, and okay. they're a defunct band in Charlotte now. But yeah, from there, September 2016, I made the website, or I had the name, tried to get a couple of my friends involved. A couple of them fell off. One of them I'm still in contact with, and reported from 20XX. And 20XX is the year of which we live. Technically, this brand could go on to the very end of this century, and then whoever inherits this could be reported from 21XX.
21XX. Yeah. I'm trying to do the math. You should make it that long.
I mean, I could. I could put my head in a jar. I mean, if technology pans out, I could be an android, then it's like, and then I can actually be that mascot I have, that virus, that AI. It's like, okay, we're just going to keep tracking history. I will always be here.
So now, you spent some time in the Navy as well. Did you go to the Navy before or after college?
Before.
Okay. I was just trying to kind of place that in the timeline. No reason to really talk about it unless it had anything to do with...
I think there were various points that kind of led to where I am. So I went after high school, and I was stationed in Guam, wanted to get as close to Japan as possible. Mm-hmm. That had been my dream at the time. It's like, get out of my hometown, go see the world, go and absorb some culture.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite pastimes was actually at a place downtown Temuning, their little capital on the very tiny island. You could drive around it in 2 hours. Mm-hmm. But the place was called Live House, and I'd always go to see like bands perform, cover. And this is before I even knew that like I cared about any of this.
Yeah.
Like I knew I somewhat cared, and I would go out and see the bands, and I made friends, and it was cool. It's unfortunate that I didn't log any of that. I constantly think about all the things that I could have logged and started this sooner. And it's just like, why?
Well, it's like I've got, you know, a box full of pictures that I took back in the early 90s of shows that we played at and went to. But it's like from a handful of shows. I got dozens of pictures from each show. But I'm like, why didn't I take my camera more often? Of course, back then, film cost money. Getting it developed cost money. Sometimes they didn't turn out that great because you didn't know what you were going to get until you got it. But that's... And, you know, going to shows, sometimes I'd rather have a beer in my hand than a camera, I guess. But I really wish I'd have documented a lot more back then, especially the local bands.
I think that is for, like, any one of us that doesn't realize, like, later on or earlier on that this could be a cool thing to, like, track. But I guess that also plays into we got to live the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Before we decide that we're going to live the moment and try to log it.
Yeah. Well, and even then, I look back, though, I did document a lot of things back then. You know, we made sure to, like, videotape certain things and record a lot of things and make flyers and keep flyers. And but I just wish I'd have done a little bit more of it. But, you know, again, like you say, we were living the moment, having a good time, and eventually it came around to the point where I'm like, oh, we need to preserve this somehow. Just put a little more focus on it. But
heck yeah. So... Navy was from 06 to 2011, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple of concerts I probably went to in between that time, coming home, going to friends' parties. Right next to where the neighborhood theater is, there used to be a set of apartments.
Mm-hmm.
Not like it is now, but they would have house shows. One Big Love was... I still have that CD somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, there were reggae, hip-hop... Probably one of the most incredible acts I had seen somewhere around 19 to 23.
Okay. Give me a little more mic. No. I don't give a flying saucer about how much that platinum costs you.
Of a time that was less explicit and more simplistic, like a vision.
That's also one of the bands that I get to look back and like, okay, maybe they're, the seeds were there, and then things just kind of came in later. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was when the Chop Shop was still around, yeah. Tremont was still out, Eve of the End was my friend's band that I had never made it out to see, which is also something I kind of look back on and I'm like, that was a waste. But music's always been kind of in or around. And Charlotte's always been, despite there being a website, Charlotte is boring, Charlotte's never been boring.
Yeah.
You just need to know where to look.
Exactly. That's the way I feel about it. It's just like people always talking about Charlotte and trashing the people that live in Charlotte. It's like, man, just, you're going to deal with those people everywhere you go. It's just, don't blame Charlotte for it.
Yeah. No, if you want to move away, you're going to find those same people.
Yeah. They're going to be there. You know, you just got to know how to deal with it, how to cope with everything better. But that's a whole different conversation.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, in a way, I think it does feed in because that's what we're doing here right now. We're mm-hmm. talking about Charlotte music. You explore bands. I do the same. Like, our mission essentially is to expose these people, expose the scene. It's like, mm-hmm. hey, this is why this is cool and this is what's happening and you should see it while it's still here.
Yeah.
Because it's not going away anytime soon unless they really do another lockdown, but...
Yeah, that kind of sucked. But I wonder if next time things will be a lot different and we deal with it differently, but it's hard to tell until that happens, and hopefully it doesn't happen again in my lifetime. But
hopefully not. And that is another conversation.
Yeah.
That was the Navy. That was a little bit after, and then 2016. And then I was kind of still playing with the idea of the platform. Still, it's like, okay, this is more of like a side thing, something I can mix in covering the gaming community in Charlotte, mm-hmm. music community, like culture stuff. And then 2018, I think, is the year where I got really serious.
Okay. So when in 2016, when you started this, was it like just Facebook? Exactly how did you start it?
It was going to be a podcast.
Okay.
And that didn't pan out because I didn't have an idea of how to really go about it. Podcasts were popping up here and there mm-hmm. around that time. I think that's when the real boom was.
Yeah.
And the people around me just weren't, at that time, weren't interested in exploring the subject or mm-hmm. trying to like talk about things the way I did. It was a lot of my high school friends. So yeah. These were people that, in hindsight, didn't really know who I was. They just remembered who I was.
Who you was before.
Or who... They didn't remember who I... Yeah.
Yeah, they remember the younger you.
They remember the younger me, the sillier, the not serious, and then, you know, life changed, mm-hmm. and I got serious.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
A lot of people weren't really ready or able to deal with that.
Yeah.
So it just became a solo project.
Yeah. And did you do like a WordPress site or like a blog?
Yep.
Or
still something? On WordPress.
Yep.
A couple of years ago, finally just got X'd out the WordPress dot and now it's just reported from 20XX.
Yes.
Plug. but 2018, you remember Creative Loafing,
mm-hmm.
or at least what it was. That was headed by Ryan Pitkin and Justin Lafroy. And they fired the entire staff right before Halloween issue came out.
Yeah.
I can't remember the exact details, but that was the big headline. And then I saw that and I said to myself, oh no, they can just do that. Someone's got to cover the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ripped my shirt open and donned my J and said, it's me. I will do it. You know, we know, like, right after that, they're like, and now we're going to start QC Nerve. And they did an all-day, like, concert thing over at Canvas Tattoo, Evening Muse, Neighborhood Theater. I think there was another location, but you basically just walked in between the streets to go check everything else. And this was all a benefit to bring this paper to life.
Yeah.
Massively successful, as we can see. And that's also where I met Ryan Pitkin and Justin for the first time. But yeah, that was just like, okay, so this could happen at any point. We need people covering the scene. I need to get more serious. So that's when the gaming community was kind of on its, not like last legs, but there was a renaissance for people like the fighting game community. Mm-hmm. You still have Michael's Chitao out there doing Potions and Pixels. He used to do events over at Petra's one night a month. I miss those. I wish you'd do it again. Shaw Gamers Network with Jonathan Saldana wasn't a thing yet. That was 2019, 2020.
Okay.
And right now, he and... I'm their editor-in-chief as well.
Okay.
So, you know, plug CGN. They were coming into fruition, starting over at Tabris, and as of now, they more or less run a lot of the gaming events that do happen in Charlotte, mm-hmm. while a lot of the old heads, Koyobi, UL Kid, Kenny Adams, so forth, they run a lot of stuff via Twitch, online, some of them are retired, and just kind of, they support however they can.
Yeah.
So gaming scene, as of right now, is mostly CGN and what Abari and whatever else people want to bring in. Mm-hmm. But yeah, 2018, I started toning down on that because there wasn't so much to really report on, talk about, and then really focused in on music, and that's kind of how I got to where I am here.
Yeah.
I think that's about the time I also met you.
Yeah, probably so. I'm trying to think what... Yeah, that sounds about like the right time, though.
So you would have...
I met you at the time we played the fill-ins at... Freeman's and Gastonia.
Yeah.
And I think that was probably like 2018, 2019, possibly.
The poster is... Give me a second.
Hold on.
You sit right there.
I'm pretty sure that I started putting the year on most of my flyers, but I'm not sure if it's on that one or not.
There you go.
Yeah, I was going to say...
Queen City Rejects, the Fillins, and Van Hoskins.
Yeah, I looked at it the other day, and it's one of the ones I did not put a year on.
Because
I was using another flyer as a template for it, like an old flyer, and it didn't have the year, and I guess I was like, well, I don't need the year.
I really like that template, though. I mean, okay, so, listeners, you just have to, we'll take a picture of it online. It's like, yeah, I just want you to imagine, like, no, you can't really imagine this.
It's an old country music concert flyer, concert poster that I took, and I just erased everybody out of it and did my own thing, which I do that from time to time. And I did that earlier this year for that show we did at the Rooster.
I remember that.
And then, I don't know, a couple of weeks later, some other band, who I'm not going to mention the name of, decided to just kind of take my flyer where I had, you know, stolen the idea from somebody else. And they painted over my flyer and put their bands on there, very crappily looking. And they used some of my stuff that I changed. And then tried to claim that they didn't know anything about it.
Oh, I need the tea on this later. We don't have to talk about it.
So anyway, they ended up canceling their show with Tommy's over it. Like, they got their butts hurt so bad about it, they canceled their show. And the guy blocked me on Facebook and whatever. And he was like, well, you stole the thing. I was like, yeah, but man, mine was tribute. Yours is just trash. It's like, I'm sorry.
I mean,
it's a thing that people do, but you know, when you're in the same scene, you don't take a flyer that's currently out there and try to make it your own. That's just dumb.
I guess there's a difference between being a tribute and just straight up ripping.
Yeah. That's what basically I'm saying. Anyway,
but yeah, this was about the time that I met you, and that was also, and I met you through what I met Alex Stiff. Something Good Network,
yeah.
Plug. But I met him over at the Milestone. I'm getting close to the mic. Went and was taking photos on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have my DSLR yet. The story, that part of my story hadn't really been formed, but I was just like, I started taking photos of other bands with that because, to me, it didn't really... Having text only doesn't say much for the story. So if I'm reporting on the scene, then I also have to take photos. There has to be some sort of documentation. So start with my Galaxy Note series, taking those. Afterward, I go to Alex. I'm like, hey, I took photos of your band. Do you want them? And he's like, these are actually good. Yeah, kind of do.
Yeah.
By the way, who are you? Hi, I'm Johnny. Reporting from 20XX.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. And that's how that friendship was formed.
Yeah.
Got it. I guess the rest is history after that. I mean, that wasn't the only one. Like, there's more of a few bands that I I met that way, but that's how I actually started meeting bands. Mm-hmm. And it's like, hey, instead of like going up front and going, hey, I'm going to do this. Do you want this? I go and do it, and it's like, hey, I already have this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And that seemed to be, that still works.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, from there, started getting really acquainted with the scene, with bands. Started coming out a lot more and just trying to envelop myself in it. And year passed, and then I think I got my DSLR. I don't think it was right before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. We got a stimulus check. I spent it on $500 on Amazon. You get a whole kit. Plus, I got my T7 Rebel.
Yeah.
And one of the first shows I shot with that was over at Heist Barrel. Heist Proper over on North Davidson.
Okay.
And then everything shut down.
Yep.
I mean, I caught, I think, let me see, one of the bands on the wall. January 6th, so $ signs 2020, that's where I got that. And that was, that's the bill with Mathaband, Michael, Sarah Palin, Emotron. Mm. And that was before the shutdown.
I'm giving up on punk. Is that fine? Yeah, okay, yeah. Cool.
Oh, there was Sixth and then Kelsey Ryan. I miss her. A lot of these posters I took from the hallway and just put down here, a lot of these came from that same year.
Yeah.
Obviously not Ren Elvis. That was probably 2021. I don't think that was last year. Yeah. Oh. Courtney Lynn and Quinn right before they left town. I think they're actually coming back this summer at the end of it, and that was January 18th.
Yep, that was right.
Over at the Visual Light. But yeah, and then we, after a couple of these shows, I was getting fresh with the camera, still learning it, and then everything shut down.
Yeah. And we haven't talked about the pandemic in a while on the podcast because it happened so long ago, but one of the things we used to talk about was what did you do during the pandemic? So what did you do during that time?
I was on Twitch a lot. I worked my job because I'm one of those lucky folks that isn't, you know, doesn't have remote.
Yeah. Same here. I was never missed a day at work.
You can't. but yeah, I was on Twitch a lot. I went and found music videos. That's kind of how I started to really like get acquainted with the channel. Mm-hmm. I still do Twitch. I'm going to be doing a stream on Monday. I don't know what time. I'm going to put it over my channel. By the time you post this, it would have already happened. But yeah, hopefully, yeah, it would have already happened, and then we have another one planned.
Yeah.
That is what we want.
So, I guess find you on Twitch.
Find me on Twitch, RF20XX underscore CLT. Plug.
I want to get all those in there. So. And I usually put all that kind of stuff in the description of the podcast as well, so it makes it easy for people to find it. So go look at the description of the podcast.
Link
tree. And you should have a link.
Link tree. It's your best friend.
Yeah.
So during the pandemic, I streamed a lot, but I also started, it's like, okay. On Streamlabs, you can make different slides. And mm-hmm. you can mix in video, photos, whatever you want. You know, it's your canvas. So with the video side, I would have two monitors, and on the second monitor, I would have a music video, or like music video set, YouTube already up. And on the first monitor, I'd have all the equipment, and then just like staring at my camera and da 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 da. By the way, this is the artist we're featuring this week. Here is blah, and then I cut to that, cut my mic off, and then we do videos.
Yep. Kind of like what I was doing during the pandemic with getting on Facebook and basically doing a radio station and coming on after every song and saying, you just heard what?
Yeah. Just like that. Yeah. But that's, and I took that vision from like old MTV. Mm-hmm. It's like we used to have TRL, VH1 used to have a whole video block. I think they still have Jumpstart. That was one of the things I used to look forward to, like when we came home in the afternoons as a kid, seeing what videos are up, whether it's like pop, rap, new metal.
I've just recently discovered Pluto TV. I've discovered it a long time ago, but I've recently started diving into it a little bit more on my PlayStation. And they've got a bunch of music video channels, by the way. So you can go back and kind of relive the MTV feel. I put on some hair metal stuff last night. It was awesome.
My roommate did download that over onto my PlayStation 4, so I might check that out.
Yeah. There's a lot. There's a Godzilla channel on there. So 24 hours a day, you can watch Godzilla.
Oh, yeah.
There's
they just did that. 24-hour
MST3K channel. There's some good stuff on there. It's nice. That and Tubi, you're set. You don't need anything else. No cable. Don't worry about cable. Just Tubi and Pluto TV.
Oh, the death of cable. A slow death of cable. But yeah, that's so like taking inspiration from like the heyday of like music videos, and nowadays people will just post the stuff on YouTube or Twitter or wherever, just kind of like they premiere it their own ways. I don't think big bands do videos as much as they used to, so most of the playing field is a lot of like Wild West. Independent bands coming up, and
which is kind of the way it started off when MTV first started off. Like in the very early days of MTV, they didn't have a whole lot of music videos by the biggest artists of the day. It was a lot of smaller new wave bands and stuff and art bands, and so they played some really interesting stuff on MTV when they first got started, and a lot of those bands got big because of it. So that's why like the music in the early 80s, a lot of it was punk rock inspired and like new wave kind of stuff. They got big because they were the ones that embraced the idea of the music video before the big bands did. And it's kind of the same way now. Like the bigger artists don't see the point in it, or you know, the budget's too big for it or whatever. And the lower independent, not lower, but you know, lower level independent bands see, oh, this is how I can get noticed. Same thing. It's kind of come full circle.
It really has, huh?
Yeah. That's neat.
That makes it. Yeah.
I mean, you still get the Taylor Swift video every now and then, but she don't do one for every song anymore.
One of my favorite things to do when I do have a little bit of time money is go to Tommy's Pub, and Stacy or Jamie will occasionally have like an 80s playlist, and you'll have some of the more well-known, like Flock of Seagulls has the that's not Take On Me, or is it?
That's Aha's Take On Me.
Like, you'll see videos like that, but then there'll be artists that I can't remember the names of, but like they'll have the most unique videos. And the 80s just seems like that era of like you could do anything.
Yeah. People trash the 80s. I think the 80s were awesome. Not just because I grew up in it, but the just the pop culture from that time.
There's a lot of things invented during that time. Yeah.
I mean, just think about how popular Stranger Things is. That's a testament to the 80s right there.
I don't have a disdain for Stranger Things, but I do have a disdain for like a lot of nostalgia culture. Well, that's
part of the reason I don't watch Stranger Things is because I love the 80s and I love the nostalgia, but I don't like watching.
Like I was there.
I don't like watching TV shows that dwell in nostalgia.
Yes,
I don't know. It just doesn't do anything for me. Like I love all that stuff, but like, yeah. I love Alf, but I don't want to watch a TV show that's talking about watching Alf. Oh my God. I don't know if they talk about Alf and Stranger Things or not, no. But I know the Goldbergs probably did, and that's another show that my dad kept saying, you'll love this, and I'm like, it didn't do anything for me.
No, we love that generation. We live there. Like, if there was a show about the 90s, like that 70s show, and then there's that 90s show, it's like talking about this, oh, we have this, that, like, we're living in the era, these are cool things. I'm like, yeah, I was there. Yeah. I don't need to know about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I think it's funny, but, like, let me see something modern.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm the same. Like, I'll collect all that stuff, but I don't want to watch a show about it. If I do, it's going to be a documentary. Like, I don't mind watching a documentary
different.
On the 80s toys or stuff like that. That's totally different. But,
like, one of my favorite documentaries going back to hip-hop is Hip-Hop Revolution over on Netflix. And when I was really tracing my roots back and realizing it's like, this is something I need to know more about. I grew up with it. I missed a lot of milestones with the culture, mm-hmm. whether it's Trap, Atlanta coming up, big things in New York. It's like, okay, if I watch this, it's going to give me a gist and then I can read more later.
Mm-hmm.
And it does do a good job. There's like 4 seasons. They break down areas and they break down artists. Like, I know where Eminem came from now and why he's actually pretty vicious when he goes and retorts to people on the mic. And it's because he came from, like, that street type of, like, lyrical mm-hmm. fights.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, for that example, Cool Herc at the very beginning. Grandmaster Flash for Years 5 is probably one of my favorite artists to go back and listen to. The Message is a very, very important song to music, period.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I agree.
Et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, like, I can't stand, same as you, I can't stand nostalgia culture unless I'm learning about it. And that doesn't help me learn about it. It just helps me know that people still want to pretend to live in that era, but why?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
So I'm trying to think where we got off the track on that when we were talking about the...
So it was 2018, pandemic, what I was doing during the pandemic.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's pretty much how I function. I still did, like, write-ups. I think that's all I really could do. Mm-hmm. I haven't talked about how I usually found artists, or at least how I did. I have several ways, but my first way how I really started getting in touch, and I'm pretty sure that's how I found a lot of your music, how I found out about the fill-ins, and how I found out about just, like, anything in general in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Bandcamp is a big deal, but used to be a bigger deal.
Yeah, yeah.
And during the pandemic,
a lot of people used that. That was a way to just
drop music,
get out there, get heard, and do something. So yeah.
I don't think that's when Bandcamp Fridays got instituted, but that's when they became more well known.
Yeah, or something like that. But yeah.
So there'd be day of the week where I would go and find, like, albums, do a short paragraph, like a description,
mm-hmm.
and do, like, a whole list of all the ones that came out. I stopped doing that because there ended up being, like, 10 or 15. It's like, damn, this is a lot, and I can't write all about that. That's, like, an all-day process. I have to pick a few and stick with it.
Yeah. Well, it's like during the pandemic, when Gabba Gabba Hunt started, and one of my things I wanted to do was a weekly listing of all the shows that were happening. Something that you do, except mm-hmm. you do it more on a daily basis, or sometimes do a daily basis.
It's if there's just too much going on, it doesn't get posted. But for the most part, I aim to have it in the morning, and it's a way to please the algorithm, our social media masters, and also it... People have told me, it's like, yeah, I subscribe to you because you always know what's going on.
Yeah. So it's one of those things that I thought about doing, but it just, you get so much going on, you kind of have to decide what you want to focus on. And that's why, like, one of the things I was going to say about having guys like you in the scene is it takes a village to borrow a phrase. And, you know, people want to know what's going on, they follow you. I just don't do that. I did it a couple of times, and I was like, man, that's a lot of work.
It's a lot to keep up with, because there's always... And I get, understandably, it takes a toll in the form of, I have FOMO,
mm-hmm.
Fear of missing out. And I'm always missing out, because there's going to be all these bands going on at the Milestone. Some of my friends are over there, But then there's something going over at Snug Harbor, or at Skylark, or at... Surf, which is now Rebel, or at Petra's, and just like, there could be like 3 or 4 different bands, and I was like, hey, you should come out. It's like, I have to stick with this one. I wish I could come out to this too.
I've gotten over the FOMO. Like, I just decide where I'm going to go when I go, or I decide I'm staying at home, but I stay at home. Like, last night, there were like 2 shows I'd like to have been at, but I'm just staying at home tonight.
Yeah.
And then I get stuff done, and I don't worry about what I'm missing.
I'm coming more towards that.
Mm-hmm.
I still get it, but I don't feel as bad because I've also had other people that I've expressed that to. And it's like, dude, you're working, you're doing stuff for the scene. You don't always have to be out here. It'd be nice if you did, but we still see your presence online, It doesn't matter.
And plus, like, if I miss you this time, I'm going to come out and see you. You might, like, some of my best friends, I'd love to see them play every time they play. Like, Cult Fracture, I'd love to be there every time they play, but I can't be there every time you play. I'm sorry. If I was a little younger, if I lived a little closer, if I had more money, maybe, yeah. But
there are definitely, like, there's a lot of stuff that I ended up missing when I, you know, you have personal issues, financial, mm-hmm. you just can't get out to shows, maybe you're sick a lot.
Sometimes you just have a bad day and just don't want to go out.
I have regrets in the last couple of years, like Sunday boxing, Paul, I love you, I wish I was out to more of those shows. And it's just like, well, you know, there's part of me at times where I thought, so we haven't talked about the photography, but getting into that, and I was cool doing it for, you know, not quite charity, but like, I was just like, it's for the scene. And then it's mm-hmm. just like, no, people pay for this. You have to get, it's like, okay, so I have to charge money? Okay. And then I did, and it's like, oh, that worked.
Mm-hmm.
And people appreciate it, so I guess I'll do it more. And then I had, and I occasionally still have this crisis, mind you, where it's like, God, if I go out to a show and I take photos, do I just give them out? I have to charge for these. So it became, well, I can't go out to a show unless I'm being charged, or unless I'm charging.
Mm-hmm.
And that stopped me from going to some shows, which, in my opinion, is still kind of wrong, but also, I've been sort of kind of pivoting between, it's like, how do I make this profitable, but also, how do I do something that people expect?
Mm-hmm.
Like, people, I had a conversation with someone early today, it's like, if you're not charging, then I don't want your services. And it's like, oh, okay. Some people are like that. So it's, living in a capitalistic hellscape is a thing.
Yeah.
But with, I wish I'd get out to a little, there's a few bands that are no longer around, Hecting being one of them. You told me the monster thought of love was dying far from home. So now I know what you mean when you would talk about wanting to leave. Sunday boxing. Might come in for a reunion every now and then, but that's been shelved.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I wish there were shows I wish I had been out to a lot more. And I've, like, things like that that I've had to think about has stopped me from a lot of just going out and enjoying myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is something that we do, like, anyone who's trying to make it and be their own independent property has to think about. It's like, okay, I go out, make sure I'm enjoying myself, but if someone's like, hey, why didn't you bring? And it's like, well, I'm on break, and you didn't say you needed anything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes you need to just go out and enjoy the night and not have to have a camera in your hand.
Yeah. Yeah, we're getting better about that. I've learned lessons, but still. But yeah.
Because when you're always doing it for the paycheck, you're going to end up going to certain places more often than you go to other places, or seeing certain bands more often than you see. Because, you know, like a bunch of 40-year-olds that are just doing music because it's a hobby might not have the money to pay for pictures. Whereas somebody that's trying to make it is more likely to say, yeah, yeah, man, let me pay you to see pictures. So that, you know, hobby band you don't ever get a chance to see unless they're opening for the band that is trying to make it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I get how that, because if you only go where the money is, it's, you don't get around to see everybody.
Well, and that's where you go out, and if money happens, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you plan for it ahead. I'm now, like, I will go and contact people ahead of time, and, you know, if it happens, cool. If it doesn't happen,
mm-hmm.
go out, bring the camera. Like, I can still post things and put my watermark and say, hey, here's a couple of things, and if the band want something later, they hit me up.
Yeah,
I have many platforms you could message me on. Yeah. And it's like, hey, I want the photos. How much are they? And then I give them a price, and then that exchange happens. And that has made it for me not to feel bad. It's like, okay, I planned for this. They didn't accept, but I'm still going to enjoy the show. Like, when we were over with the girls. Mm-hmm. Like, all three bands, the girls, Coyotes, Death Valley Girls, all amazing. I definitely had got a little bit of a... My pride had a little bit of an attitude when the merch guy for Death Valley Girls, when I was discussing, said, hey, well, you could just shoot us for free. And then his boss came over. It's like, hey, what's going on? Just kind of like broke up.
Yeah.
Like, spike in tension was there. And then someone's just like, all right, I'm going to take care of this situation. But yeah, like, I took photos of all three. I still went and put them up on my end. Mm-hmm. All three bands appreciated. Coyote said, hey, can I get these photos without the watermark? It's like, sure. Transaction happened there, but that was like, I still got to enjoy the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And there were some amazing shots at that show, too. Mm-hmm. Death Valley Girls, Ookie Spooky. Coyote's Psychedelic. And Girls definitely has, like, that glam. I don't see enough glam bands.
Yeah.
It has, like, that glam rock feel. Obviously, our buddy James Captain Nunn was out there spreading his stuff. much love to him.
Yeah, they're a good, like, pure rock and roll band. Then they got, like, one, like, black metal song for some reason. Ooh. That is badass. And it's their next single, so just wait. It is badass.
Is that not the single that came out today? Because
Maybe they did drop it today.
Hold up. All right, bring the phone back out. Girls... Kill.
That's probably it.
Yeah, just came out today. Yeah, go check out the girls Kill over on Spotify and everywhere they have streaming.
I'll probably drop a little 30-second snippet of it in about right here somewhere.
So that's also, that's taking the edge off of me not just going out and enjoying myself. And I've also discovered that as long as I've been doing it, I know I'm still kind of a fresh photographer, mm-hmm. but from 2019 till now is almost, we're getting to about half a decade of like shooting shows and like catching bands.
And you also have done it a little bit for like a day job too, haven't you? Some photography, not the same kind of photography. Yeah. But yeah.
So I just, it feels when I don't go to a show with that. When I go to a show without my camera, it just feels alien.
Yeah, yeah.
So now I do it because, like, it's part of who I am, which I have no problems with.
Well, I know there's a lot of people that do that, that they show up to a show, and if they don't have their camera, it's like, why don't you have your camera with you? And it's like, I just don't want to take pictures tonight. But they do it because it's like, I talked to one guy that used to do it, and the reason he did it was because he stopped drinking. He's like, now what am I going to do with my hands at a show? So he started taking pictures. And that was how he got started. And so he didn't ever go to a show after that without a camera because he just felt like that was what he needed in his hands.
That's awesome.
So,
but you know what happens if I don't bring a camera? I just bring out my phone and start doing the exact same thing. Yeah. So it's like, well, I guess I should have just brought my DSLR and been done with it.
Yeah. I used to take a lot of pictures at some of the shows I'd go to. I'd try to get a bunch of cool shots and just on my phone. But now I've gotten to where the band starts playing, usually during the first song, I'm going to take one, maybe two pictures just to try to make sure I get one that's not too blurry. But usually I go with the least blurry one, upload it online, then put my phone away, enjoy the rest of the show. But there's been times when I've thought about, especially now that I've stopped drinking, that I've thought about maybe getting a camera and that would be what I have in my hand at a show. But, you know, most places have Liquid Death or something like that, so I can still have a can in my hand.
I still haven't tried Liquid Death. I've just heard good things about it.
It's
flavored water in a can.
Yeah, yeah. It's good. It just takes the place of a tall boy, you know. and Tommy's Pub, plug. They have a lot of good non-alcoholic options, so I love going there and hanging out.
And no PBR.
Yeah. Which I used to be sad about because that was my drink of choice for a while, but you know.
I haven't been due to finances, but also just to kind of clean up a little bit of my end. I don't drink as much either. Mm-hmm. That is one of the niceties over there, and you're going to be. I know this is going to drop afterward, but you're going to be doing a pop up shop tomorrow at Tommy's Pub, mm-hmm. Sunday the 16th. Along with Uncle Jerry, a.k.a. Jeremy Radio, a.k.a. $1,000 Movie Behind the Bar, makes fantastic cocktails, but also makes fantastic non-alcohol cocktails. So, you know, it's a cool place. I haven't explored very much, but, like, non-alcoholic bars, cocktails are becoming a little bit more trendy. Mm-hmm. People are not drinking quite as much. But one of the first places I saw like this phenomenon happen was at Tommy's.
Yeah.
And that's because I don't know about Stacy. I haven't asked her. But I do know that Jamie is, he's alcohol free now.
Yeah.
And that's
Stacey,
how he
I think liked. Stacy drinks every now and then, but not like she's not a drinker.
But I think that's probably one of like, the coolest things. There's many reasons that draw me to Tommy's Pub. Also free shows, plug. But that was one of the first places I saw start doing non-alcoholic.
Well, the fact that they do that, because I know a lot of other bars I go to, especially, I haven't not been drinking that long, but since I haven't been drinking, sometimes I walk in and the only thing I've got an option for is a plastic bottle of water or a Coke. And you go into Tommy's and they've got mocktails, they've got different kinds of canned options.
They got coffee.
They've got coffee. So they've got plenty of options, and then you're not going in and buying a plastic bottle of water for a dollar and maybe throwing a dollar tip. You're buying, you know, a $3, $4 drink just like you'd be buying a beer, and you're throwing a couple of bucks in the tip jar, and the bar's making more money, and so the owner's making more money, and the bands are making more money, and it just works out. I mean, the payouts at Tommy's have gotten pretty good lately because even with a smaller crowd, usually everybody's buying something at the bar.
Having a breadth of options definitely helps.
Yeah, I love that. I think more bars should not look the other way or not just dismiss the idea of, I mean, because there are plenty of people that go out to your establishment that don't drink. And if you maybe have liquid death as an option, you can put a $3 or $4 price tag on that instead of selling them a plastic bottle of Walmart water for a dollar, Sam's Choice. Blue Mist. I don't think they have that anymore at the Milestone. That used to be the one when you get the Milestone.
Blue Mist.
Yeah. But, you know, just get throw some LaCroix in there or something. Just give us some options. Sparkling stuff. That always works. It takes the place of beer very easily.
Yeah, you can upcharge it for like a dollar, like $2.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I've been... I started doing photography on the phone, got the DSLR... Mm-hmm. Even after 2020, once they start letting us out into like open space, was like just kind of really fell in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have any classes. I read some stuff online. Look, I still have some books upstairs that have bookmarks for years now.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of the stuff that I picked up, I just picked up like in the scene, like in the moment,
mm-hmm.
and ended up finding a photo career.
Yeah.
Which I think is the funniest thing about all of this. Like, okay, I decided to pick something after I got out of college, continue with it, and I've written for QC Nerve. Until things got kind of bad on my end, I had a column in Culture, which previewed all of the bands coming up in the next month, just like taking 10 of them, doing like a little deep dive bio, talk about their new releases,
mm-hmm.
and... I had an article, a feature over in Q Notes, our LGBTQ magazine, a couple months back, and Jim is open to anything else I want to throw his way. So it's just like, got out of college, started doing some things, and, you know, this thing that I was doing as a hobby ended up being sort of an actual career.
Mm.
And something I can build upon, and I still am to this day.
Yeah.
As for like the future, what do I do right now? Some music reviews, writing, photography. Definitely want to get on streaming a little bit more. I won't claim that, but I'm starting it back. Working on press releases for folks. My dive into booking, like this. Something happened with my day job. I'm out of there. and now I'm focused on making 20XX like an actual legitimate pillar in my life. Mm-hmm. While taking on contracts and little jobs here and there.
Yeah.
But I'm excited. I'm excited about a lot.
Yeah.
I'm busy. I work 7 days a week on this, okay. but I'm much happier, which yeah, is... Yeah. I think that's something that I've heard a lot of people that have gone freelance say. It's like, yeah, it's a work. You don't really stop, but do I love it? Absolutely.
Yeah. And in addition to, like, music, you also cover a lot of, like, drag events, LGBTQ-friendly
yes.
stuff.
Yes.
I wanted to get into that. So,
I had a friend, or I have a friend, Sevior, also goes under Will Charmer, Drag King. Mm-hmm. First Drag King in Charlotte, plug. And they introduced me to Anya Nerves. And I was... My photography with drag was really rough at first. Mm-hmm. Because these people move very fast.
Yeah.
and I was still getting... still getting acquainted with the settings on the camera. Like, there's daylight, shade... white light, technicolor white light. That's not right, but that's whatever. And I think a couple of the people that I shot first, King Percocet, amazing performer, has come a very long way in just a few short years. Anya herself. I think Lolita. But yeah, I got in, and that was when they were over at Dilworth. And then I start coming out to a couple of the Drag King shows. King's on Tap over at Hattie's, plug. Mm-hmm. That started becoming a thing. I just kind of went and started practicing. And again, another thing is just like, oh, I was doing this for a little bit just to kind of help out, donate. I now charge for a decent amount of that. Mm-hmm. But... it was something that just kind of popped up out of nowhere. It's like, okay, and now I'm a drag photographer.
Yeah.
Cool. And they're such wonderful people.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of controversy, a lot of things in politics that are... They just happen to be in the line of fire. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing particularly wrong that drag kings, queens, things, anyone does in the United States and beyond.
Yeah.
No matter what anyone tells you. But... they're very important to the community. They do add culture. That is one thing that I would say. I think Charlotte, once we put up apartments, we lose. We lose venues and we lose culture. Yeah, that could be music. That could be drag. That could be burlesque. Shout out Flamingo Review. Mm-hmm. That could be, like, just anything you want to bring out there. Like, places where... You know, we might normally a couple of years ago have like fighting game events, not just Abari, but like other places we've lost. Mm-hmm. So, having like the drags and having the LGBT community get involved in that way as well as other ways, CGN exists for a reason. Mm-hmm. It all comes and kind of it's like a bee, it pollinates from one flower to the other.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, and in that light, Charlotte Bouquet. Mm-hmm. So I started working hard with Anya's activities. Mm-hmm. They formed DKO Entertainment. And then I started getting involved with Carolina Creep Show. I love my alternative track crowd. And, yeah, I'm now the photographer for anytime they have an event. Mm-hmm. So they'll have it at night. And again, FOMO. Not only do I have music to deal with,
yeah.
I also have drag. So it's like, okay, there's a drag show going on. I'm the photographer. I have to miss it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm mandated and they put my name on stuff. So cool. and I don't feel bad about that. I started doing the drag photography because I thought that this was something that this, from what I looked at everything on the outside, mm-hmm. this crowd didn't have a ton of. And would it not be cool to be able to spread their word, like, spread the message? Not really a message. Like, come on, have fun. That's the message. But just, like, share what they're doing. Share this cool thing going in the community. Much like music. Mm-hmm. To... Hi, Biggs. to just like the greater Charlotte crowd and just like the greater crowd outside of Charlotte, outside of North Carolina. And I feel like I've done that.
Yeah.
And there's still so much work to do, but I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
I think it's cool that you do that. I just think like you said, it's an important part of the culture around here. Or anywhere, not around here. And just like the Brewster in Gastonia has opened their doors to doing drag events, to doing burlesque, yes, to doing a lot of different things that the community is not necessarily super happy about. But he's like, I don't care. This is important. I want to give it a place to exist and to bloom. And so they had a great success with their first one. And he said before people left, they were asking when he was doing the next one. So he's going to be doing another one soon. And he said it's just going to make it basically like a quarterly thing to keep it special and just do, you know, let them come do their thing. Because he said it's a blast. And he said those people like to spend money too, which is also good.
No, people definitely go to those events who are willing to throw out money, whether it's to the performers or to the bar.
I was going to say, to the performers, to the bar, everybody gets paid. So that's the fun thing about those events.
He's just rubbing against things and just exploring. He's been sleeping in his box for a little while. For the listeners, my black cat Binks is just kind of hanging out and seeing, observing, being himself while going to his food over in the corner, and the little stone with catnip he likes to lick and wander off. But yeah, if you told me I would be doing these things like 5-10 years ago, I probably would have looked at you strange.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. The only thing that I wish, and much like I expressed earlier, like I wish I discovered I loved all of this, or I would love all of this earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't take it back, and I'd do it. Like, I would go through, I'd probably change a few things in how I did this and that, but I wouldn't give this up for the world.
Yeah. So when people go to the website now, what are some of the things that they can find there besides just like what's going on?
You're
going
to see the article. I'm probably going to change the interface, but you should see the articles up top.
Mm-hmm.
Probably like 6 of them listed. Then you go down.
Sometimes do reviews as well.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Need to get back to more of those.
Yeah.
That's coming. Joffreyum just put out a Kahlo 7-track album dedicated to Frida Kahlo's paintings.
Mm-hmm.
Plug. Working on a review for that shouldn't take long, because that I went to a listening party on Friday over at Scott Slagle's.
Mm-hmm.
I think I pronounced that correctly. His studio to listen, so I got to talk to a few people. He was there. Another artist, Big Supreme, was there. Sega, a lot of people that I met over at Royal Lifts, Soundmakers Social that he had over at Warmack back in April.
Okay.
Master Key. Like, a lot of, like, the hip-hop producers underground are over there. Joffreyum is someone that has been in the scene for, like, looking at his Facebook posts or, like, his memories, like, decade plus, 20, mm-hmm. probably, like, might have been longer than that. But he's worked with Cal Ripken, Elevator J, a lot of, like, the OGs when it comes to Charlotte hip-hop scene.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is new work. Working on that review. I need to get back to it, because Nani Lyra, I love you and I love your new album. I just need to sit down and focus. ADD is killing me. There's also a part to her story coming to Charlotte, being in the scene. I need to go and manufacture over on YouTube. I just think I'd really need to redo the interview.
Mm-hmm.
So, getting back to what you see on the site, you'll see, like, the articles, you'll see, I do a playlist that has been a little bit, hasn't been as constant had to drop off for a few, came back to about a week and a half ago, missed this past week, we'll get back on it this coming week. I've been doing 9 artists a week of new singles, 2023 artists, all independent. There's something I actually haven't gone in for so far as what I do, but I'll answer that, or I'll get counter that with this. So, like, I'll pick up 9 artists, and I don't... So you have QC Nerve, and you have Culture, you have Cheryl Observer, you have people in that are just... They're concerned with the city. You might say that about yourself, but I see you go and cover Gastonia, you do cover Charlotte, but you also talk to artists outside the city for Gabba Gabba Hall. So you and me kind of, we probably work more in the same sphere, and that same sphere is as far as the sky can go back. So I'll go and find artists that are domestic, could be over on the West Coast, East Coast, New York, North, South, international. Like, I'll go and find these bands either on Bandcamp, Spotify. I just search and I find something. Instagram, I have trained the algorithm to now just give me new artists. So I pick a lot of my artists from the Instagram Reels. I'll list those every Monday, like 9. Has to be 2023. In case you're listening to this and you want to throw me a submission, please do. So you'll see 9 of those with links to those albums and those artists on their Spotify, Bandcamp, wherever I think you're going to make money. Because if you post on Bandcamp, I'm going to link you or link my site to your Bandcamp. Because I want you to make money. If I can't, and Spotify's all I got, well, it's all I got. So get a website. And then you'll scroll down and you'll see, like, any highlights. So anytime that I do videos over on the Twitch stream, so filter that over to my website, and it's like, okay, in case you missed it, here's a music video. Check it on YouTube. Go give them some views, likes, go buy their stuff. And I'll put, like, social media links for that. And that's about it. I tried putting listings on the website, and it's like, I don't want to go on the website that much every day. Plus, web or WordPress has been filtering through a lot of the old formats, and a lot of these new ones irritate me. So it's just like, okay, I don't want to play with this. That's also why I have to go on the website and, like, change the format I'm on now, because one of the drafts I have for a review is now, like, it's my entire screen instead of, like, actual paragraph. So I have to figure out what's going on with that. Constant adventure.
Anything else that you do with is there, like, you do interviews every now and then? Have you not done that in a while?
I haven't gotten to do that in a little while. I want to get back to that. In the last couple of months, a few people have come up to me and said, hey, you've been doing this a while. I've been watching you. I'd love to contribute. So I'm working on forming somewhat of a team, like, really pitching that vision that I had in the very beginning, which is, I don't want just 20XX here in Charlotte. If I have another person in another city, they can handle that. They can hand me the venues, give me the listings if they can, but we can work together as long as they can give me, like, the spots. So, talking to Very Monday, used to be an artist here in the city. Occasionally, he's here with his band, and he's now over in Denver, Colorado, so we got 20XX in Denver, y'all.
Okay, sweet. Franchise.
There we go. Like franchise it out a little bit, but, like, you know, the whole idea behind kind of, like, the mascot is, like, 20XX evolves kind of like a virus. We're going to be everywhere. You just, you know, keep your eyes out.
I think I want to steal that idea and, like, get some people to start a band called Van Huskins and other cities and just have, like, different Van Huskins franchises around the country.
Oh, my God. You should do that. That'd be amazing.
You know, a band that you know, 20 people might go see in every town.
Okay. So that's
y'all got to play the same songs, though. You can play them your own way, but you got to play them. They got to be the same songs.
So Mike brought MF Doom's first album, Operation Doomsday, and I bring that up to say it's like you've heard... Maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but Doom didn't like performing in front of people, so he would book something and then get somebody to basically be the imposter. So, you have Doomposters, so Vanposters. That would be the dopest thing.
Yeah. I like the idea, though, that so we're going to give you the notes. You got to play them like this. You got to sing these lyrics. Play them however you want to, though. Because every band Huskins in every town might be like, it might be a country band in this town.
EDM Huskins.
I don't know. Maybe it's a dumb idea.
No, you should. I think you should go with it. I think you should try it out.
So if anybody out there wants to be recruited for Van Huskins in another town, just hit me up, I guess. There you go. So again, just let people know where they can find all the social.
You can find me at www.reportingfrom20xx.com for the website. Definitely go on to Channel 20XX if you're looking for listings, anything going on in the scene, headlines. Over on Instagram, Twitter, we now have Threads because Twitter is dying. Maybe. Daddy Musk.
Yeah.
You can also find me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/rf20xx_CLT. The schedule is probably going to change, but I'm going to try to keep to a beginning of the week stream. Where else can you find me? rf20xx_CLT. If you go over on the TikTok, I put up the music that I put on the playlist in a different fashion of just like doing a photo, like record Spotify, splice it together, so you can actually listen and also see. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think that's it. I'm trying to think of all the tabs on my desktop that are open right now. It's like, okay, I have to go here.
Well, do you have that link tree where everything's just linked from?
Yeah, that's over on my Instagram.
Oh, okay, yeah. So you can just find the link tree on the Instagram and be done with it. Or probably just go to the website. You can probably find it all from there.
Oh, right? Yeah. All at the bottom.
Yep. So that's also a good thing.
This has been a Gabba Gabba Hunt Media Production.
So maybe you take 1 to 2 photos at every event, mm-hmm, and post it on Facebook, which is cool, gets you seen, but also it's just like, oh no, they're over there? Cool. Yeah. Sometimes I miss a band, and it's just like, okay, that's dope.
I have had it worked out recently where I've posted, it's happened twice too, same guy though, where I posted a picture of being in a show, and he shows up, man, I was going to sit at home tonight, but I saw this was happening, and I had to come out here. Well, I'm like, it worked. It finally worked.
We're doing our job.
Yeah, so
you should post the photos that you take there.